All right, listen, it's always great to have him no matter what time of the morning it is. You know him well. He is the great president and CEO of the firm that's been around a long time, 87 years in biz, HOM Architects and Engineers, right out of Melville. Seven locations in and around, 460 employees, give or take. The aforementioned Mr. Heumann. Sir, it is always great. You know, I thought maybe when I was talking about the Jets and the Mets, you know, it was a little too emotional for you to pop on. And in which case, you would have gotten a full pass, my friend. Full pass today. Based on the goings-on, what we had seen yesterday. Full pass. You know that. Well, good to have you either way, though.
I think that it's crazy going with a Jet. So I have my own little sports. It's not the Jets or the Mets or whoever. Maybe time to hang it up for me. So I played soccer again this weekend, and I'm in the parking lot of my physical therapy guy. So you can read into that whatever you want. I'm sorry I was late, but I did get a chance to, watch 5 minutes of the Jets this weekend. It's brutal. It's just brutal. And there's no solace in the fact that the Giants are also struggling, but the Jets are an absolute mess.
Hey, listen, word of advice. I have weaned off a little bit of the physicality myself as I have elevated in years. So, for instance, where I would play a hardcore full-court basketball, I have been limited now to Zoom events, virtual events, and occasionally a round of nine on the old links because, you know, 18 might be a little too much. But in essence, I kind of, you know, eased off the pedal a little bit, sir.
You know, I'm sure you and I are the same here. As I'm driving to the field, I'm thinking, take it easy. And then you step out and you start to play. And, you know, the Jay and the Rich from 30 years ago always creeps its way in. And you end up putting it all out there, and then you pay for it. So I'm paying a little bit right now. I'll be fine, though. I'm all right.
I had on the great folks of the HIA. I know you're going to keep an eye on that tomorrow, right? You got a big virtual thing happening with the awards show. We had Terry on. We had a couple of finalists on. I'll tell you, it's such a great event they do every year. But you know something? Even this year, from a virtual sense, you know, it's good to see business as usual. I like that. No pun intended. But I'll tell you, there's some great firms out there up to some big awards.
Yeah, you know, it's It was great when I saw the initial flyer came out, and I jumped onto the websites of all the companies that were listed. And, you know, Terry and her team, they just continued to do a great job, even during this pandemic, of understanding how important it is to continue to shine a spotlight on companies that are, you know, new to the game or, you know, small companies, large companies. The essence of the organization is its members, and you know, during this period, she's really done a great job of staying to the mission of HIA LI, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, yeah, clearly, you know, you're not going to see the pomp and circumstance that we normally see, and it's usually a great event. You know, we get to talk a little bit before the event. I get to talk a little bit to the business owners before the event, and then the actual event itself is, it's a high level event. But you know, they'll do the best they can, and I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know who won, so I'm interested to see who's going to win.
You got some really good categories there, and good. I know a lot of these companies. You actually recognize a lot of these companies, and I tell you, it's anybody's guess. Should be very, very interesting the next couple of days. So we will keep an eye on that. And it should be interesting. I'll tell you, it's a big week. Yeah, very interesting what happens tomorrow night in Cleveland. Will you be watching far as these debates?
Absolutely. I think every American who plans on voting should watch. So even if you've made up your mind, I heard all sorts of statistics over the weekend about, you know, the sliver of swing voters, and you know, if it's a sliver, then those of us that sometimes feel as though we've already made up our minds. You know, we owe it to ourselves and our voice to continue to stay as informed until the day we vote. So I would encourage everybody to watch the debate tomorrow.
It's going to be big, you know, and I even said this, you know, there's no teleprompter, there's no, you know, answers to questions on the teleprompter. In both sides, you know, listen, I even said, you know, the incumbent is going to have to come with a plan. He's going to have to give you something as far as content to be warranted for a second term. And the other guy is going to have to come through with something here. It's not just, you know, a bash and hash. It's about, because I'm very confident Chris Paul is going to ask some questions and some good follow-ups. So, you know, you're going to look for some good content, hopefully from both sides, Rich.
Yeah, I think Chris Paul's doing a great job, and I've always found him to, you know, be as firm and direct, regardless of whether he's interviewing a Democrat or a Republican. And he doesn't allow you to dodge questions. You know, that drives me crazy when I see politicians get interviewed and, you know, there's a tough question they don't want to answer, so they dodge. You know, he can't let either candidate die. Well, you've got an incumbent and a candidate. You can't allow him to dodge. And, you know, I was disappointed, I think just, you know, in recent years, disappointed in the fact that too much of these debates turn into chopping your opponent down as opposed to telling the country what you plan on doing and how you're going to make everybody's lives better. Hopefully tomorrow we see more of that. You're always going to see some chopping going on. I don't think you can ever avoid that. However, you know, people by and large, I think, have had their fill of, you know, one side attacking the other. And I think, you know, if one of the candidates comes out and really focuses on, you know, the future in the next 4 years and what their plans are for the country and for us as citizens and voters, that's going to be appealing, I think, to people. If it ends up being, you know, mudslinging, I think people are going to be disappointed.
You know, what happens after November the 3rd, the next couple of years, one of the more important sectors of years in a long time as far as the history is concerned of where we're at here. Because with all that's happening with this pandemic, the economics, the unrest in our country, you know, how we kind of unravel that, how do we get back to the normality of it all? You know, there's so many questions. You know, you look at a deficit right now in the state of New York of $14.5 billion of a hole that needs to be plugged. You look at the counties, what they're going through and the economics, Rich. You know, that's why this to me is the most important election in such a, it really is, in such a long time. You know that?
I agree with you, Jay. The, the fact that, you know, the splinter keeps widening. And, you know, there's, I don't know if it's gaping quite yet, but, you know, you want to be able to make decisions so that it's not, you know, all on one side or all on another. And, you know, I'm really hoping that, you know, no matter how this thing works its way out November 3rd, that, you know, we're not shocked in one direction or the other. You know, I use the example. I know that down in California, you know, the governor is going to outlaw, you know, gas-powered engines in cars in 2035. Okay. So what's the plan? You know, is this a vision? Is, you know, a vision isn't a mandate. So I want to know, like, I understand, I think renewable energies, we need to be much more committed to renewable energies, and there's a lot of opportunity for our country in general, but it's got to be a cohesive, coordinated plan, energy plan, that, you know, isn't about, you know, I'm going to start to outlaw things at some point in the future. And, you know, for me, you know, I really need to see thoughtful, laid out strategic thinking from both of these candidates in order to have a level of confidence that I think everybody is looking for, so that we don't feel as though a decision one way or the other is going to be traumatic, but it's going to lean towards an agenda or another agenda. And I don't know. I don't feel that right now. I feel if you make a decision, you're either jumping on one side or jumping on the other, and that's kind of dangerous to me.
Rich Human with us. He's with a company that he took over a long time ago, and it's thriving big time. Company that's been in existence about 87 years, folks. They've got 7 office locations in and around New York and New Jersey. 460, you know, you have architects, planners, surveyors, scientists. Very proud history and everything else. But that being said, sir, you know, and I mentioned the economics, especially in Suffolk County, they need a lot of help here. You know, the county executive last week stated, you know, listen, if we don't get that federal aid, we're going to be in some trouble. I might have to look to the police force to shave off $20 million. And we all know what that means. And we all know what that equates to. Just looking around some of our big cities, no less New York City. When you hear a statement like that and everything else, what do you think about, Rich? What do you think about as far as what the future is and how dire it is right now for a lot of us?
I think we've spoken about this a couple of times. The critical nature of the federal government providing the rescue dollars that our states, our counties, our villages all basically need and deserve, and it's not bailout. I hate the term. This is not about bailout. This is not because Suffolk County mismanaged itself or, you know, Nassau County mismanaged itself. You know, this was, you know, a crisis of generational proportion, shut down. We need to protect public health at all costs. Okay, now we know what the costs are. To leave local governments to fend for themselves now is offensive. And I know that the entire Long Island delegation of federal elected officials are all advocating for New York State, for Nassau County, for Suffolk County to bring the rescue dollars here that we deserve. Those kind of you to be forced to make decisions to cut $20 million from a police budget is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. It can't get to that. And I think, you know, if the federal government doesn't come through in a reasonable and meaningful way, then, you know, all of us as taxpayers, you know, we're going to need to make a decision because you can't even maintain status quo when, you know, you've lost 15 or 20% of your revenue. So, you know, to think that taxes are not going to be impacted if the feds don't come through, I think is being a little short-sighted. One way or another, our taxes are going to be impacted. It's going to be one or the other. The revenue can't just disappear.
Hey, listen, you look what happened with the police in New York City, NYPD, $1.5 billion. And look at the unrest there. Look at the unrest all over the country. It's unbelievable. But that's the big thing right now. You know, can we secure those funds? There's so many decisions to be made. We don't even know what's happening in the world of education. We're not going to have an answer to that regarding until November as far as the cuts that will be coming that way. So there's still a lot on the line here. Man, I'll tell you. How have you been dealing with COVID and the confines of the great company there? Are we still on a remote type basis? Where are we at with H2N?
We're mostly in person. We've actually just kind of finalized our remote work and our flexibility policy. As we move through the pandemic, my intention was always to try to get the staff back in a safe and diligent way, but then recognize the benefits that revealed themselves during the pandemic, where you do have people that can work remotely, can work from home. You can enhance your benefits to your staff about supporting and advocating for greater work-life balance if someone has certain lifestyle circumstances they need to deal with. So we're incorporating all of that into a renewed policy. So as it stands today, I've probably got, you know, 90% of the staff back in the office, and the remaining, you know, 5 to 10%, if they've got, you know, challenges with childcare or they still have any kind of, you know, health conditions that would really put them at greater risk if they came into the office, you know, there, you know, we're supporting them in working from home. But otherwise, it's, you know, not quite, you know, business as usual. But I think for the most part, as the employees have now been back in the work environment for, you know, a number of months, you know, they're relaxed, their anxiety has lessened. And to me, it's allowed them to get back to a greater sense of normalcy. So even though the pandemic locally, you know, isn't what it was 4 or 5 months ago, I think until you get to the point where you're out of your house and, you know, your day is a little bit like it was before the pandemic, that's when you can really start to get yourself back to normal. I think it's going to be challenging for people in general to, you know, really just take to the fact it's going to be working from home now for some indeterminate amount of time or maybe forever. That's not going to be the easiest thing, I think, to grasp long term.
Yeah, no doubt. Rich Human with us, H2M Architects and Engineers, President, CEO. What about business as usual, about the parameters of the company itself? Where are we at? You know, we know a lot of things were halted, a lot of things now ongoing. That's important for the island and other areas to thrive. Where are you at with that situation, Rich? You know, as far as the overall, you know, picking up where you left off, maybe continuing the situation at hand, where are you at with all that's going on within the company itself?
So I would say, you know, outside of the industries that just got hammered and continue to struggle in the most significant way, you know, we were a business that was able to keep working during the pandemic. We still had projects. We still had things for staff to do. So we avoided having to lay off staff, which was great. And, you know, we do see work picking up. We see staff getting busier. Some of the market segments that were really slowing down are starting to pick themselves back up. And those are always good signs. You know, when you start to see a little more real estate and private sector activity, you know, even if it's not work activity, but it's phone calls that, you know, hey, I was thinking about this development. I put it on hold. Now I'm thinking about it again. Those are good signs. I see those signs. And as long as, you know, private sector moves its way back, government, municipal typically lags private sector. So a lot of it is going to be, again, getting back to the conversation we were just having. If municipalities and local governments need to sacrifice, you know, capital programs and economic development because they just don't have the funding, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt our region. So it really underscores the necessity in our region to get federal support, federal dollars, and that will set us up for the rest of this year in 2021. If we don't, I think we're going to continue to struggle. We're going to struggle for the rest of this year and probably struggle into 2021. So really a lot hangs in the balance in terms of, you know, how our local governments restore the funding that they've lost.
And that's a good point. You know, it's and really kind of accentuates what a cat and mouse that's going on right now. You look at the stimulus that they're going over in Washington. You look at the federal funding for the local aspect of it. And there is such, you know, it's almost like a chess game, you know, a backgammon match as far as the next move is concerned. And you basically, you know, come to the conclusion that nothing will be normal until November the 4th. Because whoever wins the election, I think you will get back to some sort of everyday type stuff. But right now, you know, you have that proverbial match going on where, you know what, you make the move first, then you get another move. Then it's the back and forth that continues. So, you know, you got this cat and mouse and everything else, and you just have to go along with it, I think, at the expense of many here, you know?
that's the ugliness of politics. And you know, for us regular folk who you know, just want to help people and help our businesses and make sure that you know, our economy recovers, politics has no place in this. And you know, because you find yourself in such a partisan period, you know, the federal government easily could have passed a bill to get some money out without, you know, having to, you know, really jump up and down and claim victory over the other party. I mean, that it's nonsense to me. And what happens is real people get hurt. Real people have been hurt. Real people continue to hurt. And, you know, if people are getting hurt, you know, for the sake of politics, again, I think that's offensive to all of us.
Mark Cuban, and I mentioned this last week, had an idea. And, you know, it was bandied about a long time ago. But his idea is, you know, to give $1,000 to each household to the end of the year. And the caveat in this thing is that you have 10 days to spend it. Otherwise, it's null and void. And I thought that was a great idea because then you're forced, whatever it is, pay down bills or whatever, you want to spend a little bit here and there, but you're pumping money back in. It was talked about a long time ago. And, you know, the important part of the stimulus to me is that American families need money right now. I mean, it's dire. Because those who have been banking on the unemployment bump, they finally in New York, you know, you got a little bit of it, but not for a long time, the extra 300 rather than the six. But in essence, I think it would solve a lot of problems. To me, that would be the elixir as far as, you know, families are concerned. You know, give $1,000 and give it, you know, every couple of weeks until the end of the year, and you only have less than 2 weeks to spend it. I think it would be a great idea. What do you think?
Yeah, I you know, pumping money in continues to be important. I think the, you know, the PPP program was huge. You know, there's still billions of dollars in that program that are unallocated right now. So, I mean, that's another problem. You know, you roll out a massive program that has, you know, extremely, you know, positive intent, and you have lots of companies that were able to take advantage of it, and that was fantastic. And you know, it prevented us from like truly sinking into, you know, recession depression. And in my head, if, you know, unemployment continues to be a problem, and you know, if you want to get money to the hands of people that were working, make sure, and I don't care what the business is, I don't care what the industry is, if they were forced to go out of business or shut down because of the pandemic, get them money, even if they're not doing any business, get them money, let them hire their people back. To me, that's the way to get money to people's hands and allow them to spend it locally. Once we start to get some of these businesses moving again, then they have staff. Then they have people that are on payroll, ready to go, as opposed to now having to hire people, or people that were working for them have now, you know, gone into different industries or different businesses because they had to find a job. When those businesses have an opportunity to open up and get back going, the talent is going to be gone. So I think that I agree with getting money into people's hands, but I still believe getting money into people's hands is through the businesses that they were working for. The feds can do a lot more in order to get money to people. And if it's not going to work and it's going to be, you know, getting money to people directly because that's the most effective way to do it, you know, I don't work for the federal government, so I'm sure effectiveness is a really important way to make sure people, you know, get the dollars they need. But one way or another, yeah, I think some kind of program's got to be in place to get money to people.
No question. Rich Heumann, you stand by, sir, for a minute or two at best. Take care of a little business, and we'll come back and wrap it all up with you. How's that? Just stand by, my friend. 848, we shall return right after this. Yes. Hey, we're back at 849. Rich Heumann is my special guest. He is the president and CEO of H2M Architects and Engineers. We tell you all the time, leading firm of its kind. Check out the great website, H2M.com. They're higher as well year-round, H2M.com. /career. Speaking of that, where are you at with that process? You do such a great job of bringing folks on, whether they graduate from college, just professionals in the industry looking for some work. We always say you've done a fantastic job in building the company that way. Where are you at with that? I mean, are there people to be sought? Have there been people that have been indoctrinated into the confines of the great firm? Where are you at with that?
Yeah, we're ramping up in really a nice, healthy way. We pulled ourselves back over the last 4 or 5 months. Still hired, and there are always those positions that are. You hear the term unicorn. They're just tough positions to fill. So we continue to recruit in a very targeted and deliberate way during the pandemic. So what we're doing now is looking to recruit across the board in all offices. If you go to our website, I think we've got 60 some odd job openings on the website right now. And we're preparing ourselves for, what should be a rebound 2021 for us. I think that, this year we will have ended up, growing maybe, 6 or 7%. If you would have asked me what I thought in March or April, it would have been, I would be thrilled to be flat this year. But, our leadership, our employees did a fantastic job of continuing to, be productive and do the best they can, getting their work done. So, it'll be, okay for us this year. So because, I like what I see and I like what the signs are, I think that I'm going to have to continue to staff up in order to take advantage of, opportunities that I see for us in 2021. So, we're kind of getting ourselves back into the fast lane. And, you've seen us over the years. There are some years where we've hired in excess of 100 people. So I'm not going to say we're there yet, but, we're definitely bringing our recruiting back to where it was, prior to the, the COVID-19 hit. And, again, looking to prepare ourselves for, what should be a strong 2021.
And that's all you can do because, I mean, let's be honest, Rich, as we close out the final quarter of the year and turn the page, we got an election in 36 days. To me, COVID's still going to be out there. And to me, the game changer is that all important vaccine. Whether we get it early, late, 2022, who knows? I mean, it's still going to be out there and there's still going to be trepidation. As far as how to go about our business. So in essence, do you expect once we turn that page into the new year, we're going to get back a lot, or do you think it'll be that magic potion of that vaccine to really kind of game change things for a lot of folks?
That's really interesting, Jay, that point. I've been thinking about that a lot. I think people in general, I'll say at least the people that I've been speaking to about the vaccine and in general are, they're very cautious. And I think when people first started talking about the development of a vaccine, it was, the magic elixir where, once we had a vaccine and it was available to the masses, we would all take it and COVID-19 would die and, we would go back to business as usual. There are a lot of people out there who are, questioning whether or not. So, I don't think it's smart from a planning perspective to put too much weight on the vaccine. Clearly it's going to help. And, we need to recognize that it is going to help and there's going to be a certain part of the population that will take the vaccine and, and hopefully that'll prevent them from, you know, contracting the virus in the future. But I still think we're going to have to be diligent with, you know, a lot of the things we put in place need to stay in place. I'll say for us, our provision yeah. for, you know, social distancing and masks and all that kind of stuff, that stuff needs to continue.
Hey, listen, I kind of agree, but, you know, we still have to live our lives. We got to do it safely, but we still have to push forward. You know, I feel bad for these amusement parks out there, certain venues, the comedy clubs, the clubs in general, food establishments. You know, we still have a long way to go. You look at outdoor dining that is going to get underway in the city on Wednesday, but only at 25% capacity. You know, and I was thinking about so many things, but we really need to get back to some sort of normality, but do it safely. You know, our rates of infection here in New York are very low where we can push a little bit. I think we learned the lesson. We know the mantra of if we do it safely, we can persevere. And that's what we have to think of, and especially here on Long Island where, you know, gyms just opened up a couple of weeks ago when we maybe, you could make the case, could have done it a long time ago if we do it safely. I think we know how to kind of operate within. We don't need anybody telling us how to do so. And I think that's the overall premise right now as we move forward, you know? Final word, sir.
That's exactly right. The the fact that, you know, we were all, we were all told that in the interest of the health of everybody, we needed to mitigate, and we mitigated. And I think we sacrificed in as big of a way as you could to mitigate and protect the health of our entire population. But we have learned a lot in the last 6 months. And, you know, to me, there's no reason why you can't continue to mitigate. I think, you know, as you know, people's perspectives went from mitigating to prevention, that's where these restrictions are going to be so challenging to lift. Because, you know, if you overreact to, you know, the first person who ends up, you know, testing positive for COVID-19, and now we have to rethink a whole reopening, that's ridiculous to me. But that's the sense you get. The sense is we have to prevent anybody from becoming infected, and it's a practical impossibility. You know, it's going to happen. We have the facilities in place. You know, our medical system is ready, has been ready, has the capacity. You know, my hope is that people's points of view, you know, work back to let's mitigate as best as we can, but, you know, don't allow the fact that we might not be able to prevent it to keep us from continuing to reopen the economy.
Yeah, that's well said, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, check out the website for more information on the great HOM, HOM.com. And also, as always, we tell you, they are hiring, one of the few companies that do that year-round, even in tough times of a pandemic, HOM.com/careers. Listen, whatever the injury is, the therapy will work, and you will be back to the good and new rich human as always. And we hopefully that will be the case, my good friend, as we head into October, okay? How's that sound?
That's awesome. Thank you.